It's Inside Vancouver Opera, and today we're leaving the rehearsal room and heading into the shop to chat with Vancouver Opera's head of properties, Stephen Elger. I talked with Stephen about how he got into opera.
I knew a couple of people in the production department here. They contacted me in last minute, wondering if I could help them source some furniture for this production.
Stephen has a fascinating career by way of furniture restoration, and his experience at Vancouver Opera has been varied and unique. And here's our conversation.
A property is anything that a performer may use touch while on stage during the show. That, or it even can be just like set dressing. So it's a bit of everything, kind of in the scenic world that isn't necessarily scenery, more physical, useful pieces and decor.
So when you know that a production is coming up, like say, for example, the Magic Flute, where does your work begin? How do you know what you have to do?
So the Magic Flute's a little different than, like, there's kind of two ways shows will come in. Either we're going to be building a show or we're going to be renting a show. And there's many different levels of rental. But Magic Flute coming in is a full rental production from the COC, Canadian Opera Company. But so it's come in. And so essentially what happens first thing with this is that I watch the archival. It's something that already exists. Watching the archival, flagging for things like the torches, which require pyro, weapons, scenery that's getting used, quick changes, movement and actions of the different props that are coming. Review the list and the archival from the COC to check what they have and wait for the props to arrive. Once the physical props arrive here, you know, you get them all out, inspect them, see how they all work. Some things in this are like, there are some bikes that look like ponies. We've got the pony trikes. And there's a lot of like alignment issues with them. And there's a lot of notes on those. So me understanding, spending the time to really understand how the prop works, even though it may look like I'm just riding around the bike and having fun, but actually understanding, seeing how it gets out of line, seeing how its repair helps down the line so I can repair it, hopefully to solve the problem or be on top of it when we move into the theater during the run of the show. What's interesting about this show seems to have gone out a few different times and been remounted by the COC. Mm-hmm. I believe it also went to Philadelphia and in Pittsburgh as well. And you can see the little changes, the little bit of inconsistencies between the different paperwork and different times that I have see some changes, like there's confetti at the end of the show in original production. And it seemed the confetti came from very limited spots. But then in the last production, they wanted all the chorus ladies to have baskets to throw confetti out. So this has been added on, but that was not necessarily in my paperwork until I like looking like the fifth set of notes that were sent to me from properties at the COC.
So tell me about your first production of Vancouver Opera and your introduction to the world of opera properties.
I have a really weird introduction to the world of opera and my first time in VO. I actually got into VO during the pandemic of all times. My first production was actually during the digital season. It was Lavoir. Rachel Peck was the director. Amir Omark was the designer. The old props team wasn't available, from my understanding. And this first show had a lot of furniture, and furniture in particular is my background, restoration and refinishing. I knew a couple of people in the production department here. They contacted me in last minute, wondering if I could help them source some furniture for this production. And then it evolved into this head of property role that I'm now in. This would be my fourth season, I believe. Sounds about right.
In furniture restoration, mm-hmm. Are there any similarities between that work and the work that you do in properties?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarity, a lot of finishing and decoration work, right? Detailing, staining, all that. A lot of in that, when you're talking about furniture on stage. Biggest difference I make the joke is that one job, often the opera, I'm paid to make things look like crap. And at my other job, I'm made to make things look really nice. So that's kind of the biggest difference.
I remember when you were working on The Flying Dutchman last season, You were dealing with many, many bottles. Tell us about that process.
The last scene, celebratory scene, they wanted to have bottles for all the chorus and I think some of the principals. And silly me showed the director the one clay bottle that I had, which is really period accurate for the time. And Brian really fell in love with that bottle. So it was going to be out of budget and really hard to find actual clay bottles. And because what he really loved was the pop top. Best way to say the Grosch bottles pop top, right? Not a twist off one. That's what he really wanted and really liked the clay. So, like, you know, I did some Googling. I know there's a lot of people got into, like, the kombucha making or other things during the pandemic. So I found someone selling a bunch of Grosch bottles. I think there was about 40 there. I needed 50. So shucks, I bought 12 bottles and had to drink them. Oh, my God. Tough life. We painted them to give the illusion of clay. And unless you are, like, a foot away, you can't tell, which was really, really cool. They turned out really, really well.
You mentioned distance, and that's definitely something I think about when I'm watching opera in the Queen Elizabeth.
40-foot rule. If you can't see it or the detail's not really noticeable from 40 feet, it's not really worth the time to focus on. When you are making something, unlike if you're making it for film or for a smaller house, you want to articulate the details. So instead of, let's say, I was working on a clock, instead of me really worrying about you seeing the number one, the number two, I'm going to focus that the 12, the three, the six, the nine, and the hands are really more of a hyper focus, whether it's adding extra highlight shadow, even a bit of a sheen, but not focusing more on those details, right? One of my actual favorite things when we're talking about the scale is that often there's text or like a book, a pamphlet or something on stage. I always love to throw little jokes in there for the performers that they can read, but no one will see. All you need in the house to see is some black markings to show that there's writing on a page. One time I had to do cue cards for a piece. On every cue card, I just wrote different Spice Girl lyrics. So it's little things like that, yeah.
Tell us about Magic Flute and what you've been uncovering as you've been unpacking the crates and itemizing it all.
It's going to be a big show. It's really, really cool. I'm really, really excited for the animal masks, the puppetry elements of these animal masks. They're really, really awesome. My assistant, Jessie Orr, she's a puppeteer. She's really excited. I'm really to understand it's an art form that I don't know too much about. So I'm definitely really picking her knowledge and working with these things. It's going to be a little bit of a different process with me because there's a lot more puppetry-esque elements in the props work. I'm going to actually be involved a lot more within the rehearsal process and with the performers just to help assist stage management, getting them on and getting them comfortable. The three-headed dragon that's in this show, the costume takes four people to put on. So I'm going to be in there a little bit more engaged with them.
When you think about props, why do you think they are so essential to opera storytelling?
I think you talk to performers, there's a lot of character work can happen with the simplest things, right? Flying Dutchman, the Dutchman, right? In the end, angry, whatnot, having that bottle in his hand, swinging away, like it's a part of the character that is developed, and it's an extension of the being, it's an extension of the story. So to me, props is an extension of scenery, and scenery, the whole production itself. Otherwise, without these elements, it's going to be a naked performer in a dark stage, empty dark stage, right? With an orchestra, right? Like, it makes the magic.
We call Stephen Mr. Magic because Stephen is able to turn, well, as you've heard, water bottles into wine bottles. I don't know if he can actually affect what's in the bottles, but he can certainly affect what's on the outside. Stephen is always creating and crafting and sourcing, and I look forward to hearing more about what Stephen's up to in the operas to come this season. So just a reminder, if you haven't got your tickets, make sure to head to vancouveropera.ca to buy your tickets for The Magic Flute, which is on stage from October 21st to 29th. And don't forget the rest of our season, Don Pasquale, and then a little opera no one's heard of called Carmen. I'll see you at the opera.